Are you ready to become toxic person proof?
Hey guys, Sarah K. Ramsey here to help you find love and success after a toxic relationship so you can design a life you're actually excited about living.
Hello, wonderful. This is Sarah, and I am here with Charlotte, mother, who is going to talk to me about post-traumatic growth, which is absolutely one of the subject areas that I love talking about and don't get to talk about as much as I would like to. Hey, Charlotte, how are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So we have Charlotte back. If you've not seen our first conversation, it was around hypervigilance, you know, after trauma, after a toxic situation, we feel like we're not safe because in those situations, we actually weren't, right? So then we get into this hypervigilance mode and try to be all the things for all the people all the time. So if you have not checked out that interview, do it. It was great. And now we're going to talk and kind of recap into post-traumatic growth. I am so excited we're talking about this. Charlotte, tell us a bit about post-traumatic growth and I'll chime in as well.
Great. Yeah, so post-traumatic growth, it's something that I discuss with clients that I work with on a regular basis because, you know, sometimes they've been through horrific traumas, real deep traumas, things that we would identify as a trauma, you know, maybe a sexual assault, maybe some combat, war combat, that sort of thing. But then there's also the more subtle traumas around, you know, a chaotic childhood or abandonment, also traumas. And there's often a lot of discussion around post-traumatic stress and the negative impact of trauma. And we shouldn't negate that in any way. It's, you know, serious stuff. And that's something that I have great pleasure in helping people deal with. But there's also growth after trauma. There's also positives after trauma if we choose to look for them. And helping clients to identify those, probably not immediately after the trauma, sometimes past, some healing's past, right? Identifying what have you learned from this? How have you grown? How could this enhance your life going forward? And, you know, you hear about people that have been through horrific situations, circumstances, coming out the other side and finding a new perspective on life. So perhaps discovering, you know, spirituality and that oneness and that life's too short, let's make the most of every second. And some people come out and they want to teach and they want to mentor and help other people. You know, you hear about parents of children that have been killed by drunk drivers and things, and awful. Can't imagine anything worse as a mother myself. But then they take that and they go into schools and they educate and they share their story, and that's post-traumatic growth. I mean, I'm getting a goose pimple.
I know. I love it. And that's all we have, right? In Man's Search for Meaning, he talks about we are meaning-making creatures. Yeah. And so when something bad happens to us, we can either say life sucks and then you die, or try to create some higher meaning from it, some higher purpose, some, you know, tap into our higher power. And gosh, what a gift that is compared to just repeating the same cycles over and over again. You know, like in toxic relationships, the saddest thing is I had one, then I had two, then I had four, then I had six, then I had eight, right? And getting into that cycle rather than being able to choosing or knowing or whatever it is too. And I don't want to blame people for their past because we didn't know what we didn't know, but wanting as you move forward to create a situation in your future that does involve growth. It does involve doing something different than you already did.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you say it really eloquently because it's not just about those big things of I'm going to go and change the world through the growth, the post-traumatic growth that I've undergone. It's not always about I'm going to change the world, but it could be much more subtle. It could be much more subtle things that we do, personal growth within ourselves. You know, it's not always necessarily that kind of big bang, externally focused, extrovert method of growth.
Mother Teresa, there's some quotes. She has so many great quotes. One of my favorites is "Let no one leave you without feeling happier," which is kind of one of my life themes. I hope it to be my life theme. But one of the things she says is, like, you know, it always starts at home. And we see that. Like, what good is it if you're out solving the world's problems if you're not solving your children's or helping your children solve their own problems? I won't say solving your children's problems because that can get into unhealthy too. but helping your children, you know, being present for your family, being letting your home, there's an old phrase, like your home being a mission field, you know, maybe that in, you know, having a life outside of your home too, you know, it's all in balance, right? But it can be small things. It can be big things. It can be your children seeing you actually smiling versus pretending to smile. You know, I always joke that I said, no one goes to therapy saying, I just had this really well-adjusted mother. She was so at peace with herself. She had great boundaries. You know, she really did the inner work and got healthy and just always showed up for me powerfully. Like, I need some therapy about her. It's not what people say, no. but that's who I want to be for my kids. Right. I that's how most women want to be. And that post-traumatic growth can be, and, you know, a campaign against drunk drivers, or it can be, you know, I'm going to do better next time. I'm going to reset normal, show up to the next relationship, the next situation, the next 10 years of parenting as a different version of myself.
Yeah, right. It's the ultimate reframe.
Yes.
It's the ultimate reframe. We talk about it a lot in coaching. How can we look at this differently?
Yes.
For me, coming out of trauma and seeing growth and positives, and it makes me almost emotional. I can feel the emotion. And I, you know, I have a personal experience of this with my daughter who's 15. She has a condition. She was diagnosed about 5 years ago with a condition. It's called misophonia. It's a hatred of sound is the definition of it. And she can't stand the sound of people eating. It triggers a fight, flight, freeze response. She can't stand cutlery on crockery. Some people have issues with the way people say words, like if they've got an S in them or a T. It's wide ranging, this condition. It's not very, very well heard of, but it's changed her life on every level. And it's created this trauma of not being able to socialize, not be able to stay with her family and eat and go out and enjoy every occasion that we ever have involves food. We could have seen that as a real negative. And at first she did. She was 10, and there was a lot of tears and a lot of pain, and there was a lot of adjusting for us as a family. There's a lot of rage involved with that condition. But now she's 15, and at just 15, because of the work we've done together, she sees an opportunity to raise awareness. She wants to write a book. She wants to be a therapist. She wants to take her experience of this heartbreaking, awful condition and do some good with it. And she's just 15. If a 15-year-old can think like that, there's hope for all of us, right?
I love that. So within the world of post-traumatic growth, right, where do we find the balance between, like, oh, good, I can use this to help someone else? And, you know, I have women, and I joke that they're helpaholics, right? And it's like, oh, okay, great. I can just help someone else again. Yes, I can help someone else. It's like, woo, you got to help yourself first. There has to be this process of learning to lead by example,
yes,
rather than learning to distract you. You know, we have to really be careful that we don't go into healing situations where we're not using other people's problems to distract us from our own problems. Like, there is no unhealthier coach, therapist, whatever in the world than someone who is using you to distract themselves from their own life. Now, I hope you hear me say that. And
absolutely,
there are a lot of healing people out there that are doing that. It is not okay. Their life doesn't have to be perfect, but if they're using you to solve their own wounds, that's dangerous. That is dangerous. Don't be that person. Please do not be that person. If I may, I had a phone call with someone. I kid you not. It was unbelievable. And they said, you know, they were on the phone, like, I'm thinking about healing from a narcissist. You know, I'm still with this relationship. And they said, well, I'm teaching a class on narcissism. And I said, come again? Yeah.
What? that.
You're teaching a class on narcissism and you're dating a narcissist right now? And she said, yeah, I thought it would give me more data to be able to do a better job teaching the class.
Wow.
Wow, exactly, right? It's not my first phone call like that. You know, I'll get women on the phone. They're like, I'm doing so great. I'm doing so great. I'm going to change the world. I'm going to help people. I'm going to be a coach. I'm going to do like you. I said, awesome. And I said, you know, what's your situation? Well, I haven't left yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You've not done any of the work, right? You've not done any of the hard stuff until you actually change, like do the hard stuff of changing your life. But I asked that person about the narcissistic class. And I said, how do you think those people would feel if they knew you were in a toxic relationship? And I said, do you think that's a healthy situation for you to be in? She goes, well, it depends. I mean, narcissism is on a spectrum, so, you know, it's not all bad. And I was like, oh, okay. I said, well, let's talk about, you know, if you were going to teach a class on snake handling or poisonous snakes, and you told the class, so I was trying to get her to like link with that needing to lead by example piece, right? And how dangerous it can be when you're telling other people advice you're not taking, and how inauthentic that is. And she said, well, you know, I said, well, how would those people feel if they knew you were doing a class on poisonous snakes and you were in a snake pit playing with them? And she said, well, how poisonous are the snakes? And it was just like complete disconnect from mm-hmm. just the excuses we can make in our head. And I've made excuses in my own head for things too. So I don't shame people for that. And I get very nervous when they are leading people as an expert in that, you know? So where do you find that balance between not being a helpaholic, leading by example, but then also using the experience for post-traumatic growth?
I think that you mentioned it there, that they've got to have been through a journey of their own healing, I think, to take that as post-traumatic growth and develop from it something positive. There needs to be an element of healing that's taken place. Not to say that fully healed, and are we ever?
Right. It's tricky. It's a balance, right? Yeah. It's always a balance, because when you get into, oh, I have to be perfect, then it's like, well, no, you're never going to be perfect either. No. Yes. Yeah. Well, I try to think about it is, if there was like a video camera in my life,
mm-hmm.
would people think I was walking the walk and talking the talk to the best that I could? Right. You know, or would it be like in that situation with that lady where it was like, oh, if I followed you back to your home, here you seem to be the expert on narcissism, that's the class she was teaching, but if I followed you home, I would see you putting up with narcissistic behavior. Like, yeah, I mean,
mm-hmm.
maybe something like that. Is that kind of how you would?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if, you know, to help others, you need to have walked the walk. I think it helps massively. And I know that when I talk from a place of experience, you know, on my Facebook profile and things, that attracts people to me that want my help, because they know I've walked the walk and I've been there. But they also can clearly see that I've healed, or I'm on my healing journey.
Yes.
So, you know, yes. I am a former, you know, hyper-independent. I had people pleaser tendencies as well, so I was pulled in every direction, but I'm kind of reformed, and I guess it's a little bit like being an alcoholic.
Yes.
You know,
yeah, like a sponsor.
You don't go back to drinking.
You want a sponsor who's been, you know, had 5 years of sobriety, or I don't know what the timeline is for that,
but you
that
wouldn't want a sponsor like a good... that's drinking every night again,
right?
So it's about recovery, I suppose,
yes.
healing,
yes.
and a place of recovery where you're not likely to go back to that place again soon.
That's a good thing. And in the walk the walk, talk the talk, as you told your story about your daughter, mm-hmm. I have so much more empathy in a teeny tiny way after this quarantine process, right? Because mm-hmm. before, I would never have had the experience that I can't be around my family.
Yeah.
I can't be around people. I can't. And it was so jarring for me as an extrovert. I was so mm-hmm. jarring for me. And it's just like a teeny, teeny, tiny sliver of your daughter's situation. I don't mean to put that on here, but it, you know, it was like, oh, I can't imagine. Now I really, you know.
Well, you can. You can resonate, right?
In a different way than before. Yeah. So what are some other tips for post-traumatic growth and taking and reframing a meeting to make it meaningful to you?
I think that, like I say, there needs to be a healing journey. So often immediately after the trauma, we wouldn't recognize post-traumatic growth. There's something else going on. Like you said, that's maybe where the helpaholics appear. Yeah. Uh-huh. Because there needs to be a process, right? Especially after major trauma, and not to downplay any other trauma, but you know, major stuff like combat and involving death or assaults, mm-hmm. and things, there needs to be a healing process. But in terms of identifying that post-traumatic growth, working with a coach, and I'm going to say this sometimes, but working with a coach is amazing for identifying and reframing what are the possibilities for growth, what are the reframes. So as you know, as a coach, we, our clients can get stuck in a sort of negative cycle of why this happened to me, what's wrong with me, why is it like this, why do I have to feel like this. And so working with a coach helps to start reframing those questions that you're asking yourself. And so I'll give you a simple example, and you've probably heard of this, and again, not downplaying trauma in any way, but if I find myself going, why is this happening? Then immediately go, okay, what is the lesson here?
Yeah.
What is this teaching me? Not why is this happening? Because that doesn't stop what's happening. What is the lesson? Or what was the lesson? So it's almost reframing it that way. Not why did that have to happen to me, but what can I learn from this? What opportunities to grow can I find in what happened to me?
So in my work, I talk about gravity thinking, abstract thinking, and actionable thinking. So like if you want to go to the moon, you see people and they're like, oh, I want to go to the moon. And they're just, you say, why are you jumping in your yard? And they're like, oh, I'm going to jump to the moon. I'm going to jump in my special shoes and jump with my special trampoline and jump with my special leg muscles. And you're like, no, you're not. You're never getting to the moon because you're fighting gravity, right? And some things in life are gravity problems. We can't control them. Right. The past is a gravity problem. Every single thing that has already happened to you up to this point is a gravity problem. We cannot change it. Then I talk about abstract thinking, which is, why do I want to go to the moon? Why do I think about the moon so much? What if I don't like the moon, right? And that's where women get stuck, walking in circles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Overthinking, ruminating. Why did the moon happen to me? Why wasn't I born on the moon? Why do I have to work so hard to get to the moon? Why is my friend at the moon and I'm not? You know, I mean, all those type of things, which I call abstract thinking. It's like throwing paint on a wall in an ugly abstract photo. I love some abstract art, but I don't love abstract thinking, right? Because it doesn't get you any closer to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing a lot of work, but it's not working, you know? And then actionable thinking, which is what can I do to take steps closer to my goal, whether it be signing up, you know, in the US, it'd be signing up for NASA, signing up for space camp, building a rocket ship. Like all those things would actually move you closer to the moon. Being mad at the moon, wondering, ruminating about the moon, not going to get you any closer to that future that you want. But within that conversation about post-traumatic growth, what can I do now?
Yeah.
What choices do I have in this moment in time that can help me take back some of my power, take back a feeling of positivity, take back a feeling of I'm not helpless in my own life, and becoming a co-creator in your life again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What can I do to make me feel good on the simplest level? You know, what is going to make me feel good right now?
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to change my life right now, not go back and change what happened then, but what can I do to change my life for the better right now?
Yes. So what are your tips?
There's always an answer.
there is an answer, right? And so if someone is stuck, I know this isn't necessarily post-traumatic growth conversation, but it's one of the things I know you specialize in. Mm-hmm. If someone is stuck, right, and in that conversation, you know, how do you come on, little birdie, you know, let's get you off, let's get you out of walking in circles with that abstract thinking and get you walking forward. What are some tips for getting unstuck?
I think that I really like the idea that you said it, we are co-creators in our own life. Mm-hmm. So it's starting to look at the positive actions that we can take, positive intentions, what we want out of our lives, you know, forward looking, future planning, because we can get stuck in the now. And I know there's a lot of talk from a spiritual aspect of just live in the now, just live in the moment, in the present. Right. But if we're not happy in the now,
yeah. We
need to start looking elsewhere as well in the future.
That's a really important point. Can you re-say that again? Because that was such a process when I was going through my own situation. It was like, I don't want to be in the now, which led to the hypervigilance.
Yeah.
Right. That we talked about in the first thing. But can you say that again? Because I think it's so important. If you're not happy with the now.
If you're not happy with the now, yeah. If you're not happy with it, then you need to take a look at where else you can... Yes. Optimize your life, you know, you can bring in those positive elements and, yes. and the future. We can't go back to the past.
Right.
If we're unable to change the right now, and I'm talking, you know, this minute, this
second,
day,
yeah.
If we're unable to change that, then okay, what are the next steps I can take? And the next steps might be in the next minute. They might be in the next month. They might be in the next year. That depends on the individual and what their goals are. Mm-hmm. But if we're stuck in the now, and I'm not saying that we go and move into that wanting mind that, oh, if I can just
good point. Yes.
Amount, I'll be
yes,
happy.
Yes,
if
yes.
I can just lose 60 pounds, I'll be happy. If I can just find a husband, I'll be happy. Not that at all.
Yes.
But actionable, achievable steps towards our own personal fulfillment, mm-hmm. not the things that we get, the things that we're going to acquire. The feelings, right? That the feelings that we want.
And someone else talked about that I recently did an interview with, and trying to create the feelings that you want. If, you know, you think in your head, when I lose 60 pounds, then I'll feel confident. Well, how can I practice the feeling of confidence now?
Yeah.
Right. You know, when I get the guy, then everything will be laid out for me. And it's like, okay, well, how can I lay things out for me now, which obviously makes you a better version of a better catch. It does, right? It's like,
yeah.
Oh, you know, I'm hypervigilant and I'm this and I'm this and this, but I am, once a guy comes, it'll all work out for me. And it's like, I have never talked to a coach. I have never talked to anyone in this space. And they told me that was a good idea. I mean, I knew it wasn't a good idea, but no one's ever said that either. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, oh, maybe this will work out. Ooh, maybe this. 100% of experts say, establish yourself, learn to create stability in your own inner world wherever possible. You do not have to be perfect, but don't be needy.
Yeah.
Neediness is not sexy going into dating or a job interview or whatever else it is, right? It's not a sexy place to come from.
You know, and I always say that, you know, our emotions are created by our thoughts.
Yes.
Who has control of your thoughts?
Yes.
You do.
Yes.
Nobody else. Mm-hmm. You know, getting the Ferrari doesn't control your thoughts.
Yes.
Going to the Maldives doesn't, snagging the man doesn't control your thoughts. You control your thoughts. So I, you know, if you can't be happy without it, what makes you think you'll be happy with it? Mm-hmm. So yeah, when people say, oh, if I could just earn $1 million, yeah, I'll be happy. So why can't you be happy now without it? What makes you think that $1 million is suddenly going to imbibe you with happiness? Happiness is just a feeling that's created by a thought. Mm-hmm. Try feeling happy now. Mm-hmm. Try creating that thought now. But I guess some people can find that really difficult if they have experienced recent trauma. And that's why there needs to be that healing phase. There needs to be that process. Mm-hmm. because our emotions, you know, immediately after trauma are just a mess. Just that emotional regulation isn't there.
Yes, which is expected, which is normal. You know, we are definitely not shaming anyone in that situation. No. It would be odd if you weren't at that place at that point, right? So that's
you're
okay.
In fight mood. Yeah.
Yes.
Your cortex isn't fully engaged. So be gentle. Be gentle. If it's trauma's recent, that healing needs to take place. Don't think, why can't I just be happy? Why can't I just get over this? Why can't I just forget about it? Yes. The healing needs to take place. The central nervous system needs to calm itself down. Equilibrium needs to return. Yes. And that's a process. So I'd always say be gentle. And then once it feels like that process is happening and it's working and things are starting to stabilize, then work on the future self, you're being more happy, more fulfilled, more content, feeling more safe, and all of those things.
I remember in my own journey, I would say, I hate the, you know, people use the word process, and it's like, I hate the process. I'm so sick of hearing about it's a process. And it is, right? You know, I posted on Facebook yesterday, Rome was not built in a day. It was me and my husband, like, kissing in front of the Colosseum, you know, and it was like, Rome is not built in a day. You know, a new life is not built in a day. A new set of beliefs is not built in a day. It's just not. We want to practice this new version of ourselves, practice a better version of ourselves, practice, you know, regulating our nervous systems and taking back our thinking. And then we can get to the growth stuff. So that's awesome.
And it's okay if we get it wrong. It's part of the learning.
Sure.
As long as we learn.
Yes.
What we go through, we grow through. Is that?
Ooh, yeah. Yes, I have heard that phrase. Awesome. Charlotte, tell people where they can find you and hear a bit more.
Sure, thank you. So the best place is my website is www.charlottemathercoaching.com. I'm also on Facebook. I'm often hanging around on my profile, do a lot of lives there, Charlotte Mather. And I have a YouTube channel under my name as well with some hypnotic audios if anyone fancies a listen.
Awesome. You'll have to send me your favorite one and I can share it with my group. That would be lovely.
That'd
be awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much, Charlotte. And thank you for helping us become Toxic Person Proof.
Thank you.
Hello, wonderful. This is Sarah, and I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I know that there was something that you can take away to help you get past the past, get real about the present, or get serious about your future. And if I did my job, then hopefully it will help you with all three. If you are not in my Facebook group, Finding Love and Success After a Toxic Relationship, then consider this your personal invitation from me. I'm there live, there's tons of support, and most importantly, tons more information to help you on your journey to become Toxic Person Proof.